Good evening. Not too long ago, I brought a message, Lord, is it I? Thank you. If you will, let's open our Bibles in John chapter 13 again. I appreciate your pastor and his wife greatly. Greatly. I've learned so much from him and leaned on him many times throughout my life, and I appreciate you, both of you. And I've learned quite a bit. I'm not going to get up here and say I have a message for you. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. If the Lord's pleased, I could have my doctrine dead on. I could say all the right words. I could do everything just perfect. And if the Lord is not pleased to bless it to your hearts, it ain't going to do any good, is it? I pray he'll be with us tonight. Looking here in John 13, about the Lord washing the disciples' feet. And many times throughout this world, people preach from this, or they quote it or speak about it, and it's a lesson in Christian humanity. Is there something we ought to do to serve one another? And any lesson that we see, any miracle that we see, any practicality that we can touch on, it may benefit us in our daily walk, but if we don't see the spiritual application of that, we've missed Christ. If we've missed Christ, we've missed life. That's what we've missed. I pray we can see that today. It says there in verse 1, John 13, verse 1. Now therefore, the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that this hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That hour. That his hour was come. That was spoken of often, wasn't it? During that first miracle he performed, his mother come to him. And he said, we're out of wine. This wedding's going great. They run out of wine. What are we going to do? He said to a woman, what have I to do to thee? Mine hour is not yet come. They said, we would see Jesus. And those men come to him in John 12. We would see Jesus. And he said, the hour has come that the Son of Man will be glorified. Later on, they asked the master, said, please don't go. Don't do what you have to do. We don't really understand what you're talking about. We want you with us. And he said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. This is an important hour. Eternity hinges on it. And this glorification, this exaltation, the completion of the work, purpose before time, all of this was wrapped up in the love of his own. This hour came because of the love of his own. He says, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved his own. That's what this whole determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God was for this hour. This love before time. His providence to bring this hour upon because he loved his own. He didn't love everybody. He loved his own. We know that in verse 2, don't we? It says, in the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. But having loved his own in this world, that was those in those days, those before that time, those in this day now that we're in, and those to come, till that last saint's called to see Christ, till they see him and worship him. That's what will happen. He loves them to the end. What's the end of? That mean there's a termination point? He loves them to the end of our physical lives, don't he? You who he's done a work in, he'll keep us till the end. He loved us till the end of his physical life, to the cross. We're loved with an everlasting love. That's how we're called, with that everlasting love. We're drawn by that everlasting love. We're set apart, purpose to be in Christ, a love without beginning, a love without ending. What a thought. Do I love that way? You? It ain't like his love, is it? Not what we think. He said he loved to the uttermost. He's able to save that. We have a high priest able to save us to the uttermost. Do you know what that means? That's as far and as deep reaching as our sin can go. As sinful as we can't even enter into. from that all the way to the complete, uttermost satisfaction of his Father that we offended. That's who we sinned against. Love them to the uttermost. Save them to the uttermost. But he loved his own to the end of that work on the cross. Boy, if we could enter into that. I heard a preacher get up one time. I think it was Chris. I gave him credit this morning. But go read Matthew 27 sometime. All the things they said to our Lord. All the things they've done to our Lord. What was prophesied from old that he fulfilled. And then get to the end of that. How does that make you feel? I just sat one day and read Matthew 27 and just wept. That was for me. That was for you. You who are his own that he loved before time. All the way to the end of that. Till that punishment that I fully deserved, I earned, those wages I earned were put on him, and that wrath of God was on him fully until he was completely satisfied. The Father was completely satisfied. He loved us to the end. John tells us later in life, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Who's us? Well, we love him. People profess their love of God, don't they? Say, I love Jesus. I love the Lord. Do you know him? It says in John 1, he said he came to his own. His own received him not. Well, that's the Jews. Well, those too, but us. When did he die for me? When I was ungodly. When did he go to that cross of Calvary for me? It was before I was born and while I was at enmity with him. That's when he loved me. That hour was coming. And that love he hath for his own. It was Christ being the propitiation for us. That bloody sacrifice, that atonement, that at-one-ment. That's what it was for. That was the hour. That was the culmination of it. And this love for his own, the Lord Jesus is going to show his own. If you mommies and daddies, you love your children, you give your life for them. You going to let them know about it? You going to hide that love in a closet? Of course not. It's just going to come out of you. The Lord gave his son. The Lord came for us. And we're going to know about it. We're going to be taught of God. He's going to reveal his love and his elect children. And he's going to do this and show us that every bit of it, from the purpose of the Father, the purchase of the Son, and the announcement in your heart by the Holy Spirit, he did this willingly in love. Oh, what a kinsman redeemer. You had to be related. You had to be able to redeem. You had to be willing. Oh, he was willing. I've tried soaking that in for a month now, and I can't get enough of it. He was willing. He willingly did this. What a thought. In his condescension to this earth, becoming a man, living for his people, hanging on a cross for his own, his burial, his resurrection, and his intercession right now at the right hand of the Father for every one of his people, willingly, gladly. It says in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. He knew where he come from. He is God. He was with God. He was God. He came into this world and he knew this hour was coming and he knew exactly where he was going. Right back to his Father. What would you and I do if I knew I had 4 hours left on this earth? You want to go wash some feet? Aaron, can I come help you change oil in your car? John, can I do it for you? Can you help you clean your house or something? What would we do? No, I'd be worried about getting out of here. Wouldn't me? That's what I'd do. If we had the mind, the spirit, and the faith of Christ, you would serve his people on this earth. You would do the will of the Father. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2 real quick. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why is that lamb provided? That lamb slain before the foundation of the world, our substitute. Why is that worth so much? That's God Almighty in human flesh. That's whose blood it is. Whose blood it is. He was girded with that towel of flesh. He became a man, but that's God Almighty. He put off that robe of holiness with his Father and became a man with no comeliness in him. Nothing that we would be attracted to. If we saw him walking down the street, we'd probably go to the other side of the street and avoid him. Put your purse on the other side or whatever people do. They'd be afraid of him. Don't make eye contact in the elevator. no comeliness about him. It says in verse 7, "But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." He willfully removed that holy heavenly garment and he girded himself as a man just like me and you. Why? Because he loved his own. And that hour was necessary for us, for the purpose of the Father. That's why he did it. It had to. Verse 8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The wages of sin is death. Well, there's no blood, there's no remission of sin. And he was obedient to death, even the death of the cross, willingly. "I lay down my life. Ain't no man takes my life from me," he said. "I lay it down willfully for his own, those that he loved. He must come and bear his own, those that he perfectly loved, from everlasting to everlasting. And he's going to draw them to him, those that he loves, and he's going to reveal himself in him." Now back in our text there in John 13. Verse 4 says, "He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." That very same towel. Now, what was the custom? What were they doing here? Back in those days, if somebody was kind of well off, they had servants. And in anything, there's a pecking order, ain't there? There's people that's been there a little bit longer than the new guys. Well, the newest one, the lowest ranking servant, their job was to wash the people's feet when they come in. The families and the guests and whoever came into the home, they would go wash their feet. We didn't have paved roads like we do. They're out walking in dust and dirt, and a lot like where I'm living now. And it gets dusty real easy. And they'd come in, they'd wash their feet, and they'd go sit down and visit or go to the table and eat. That was the position, that was the duty of the lowest ranking person in that home. Here in Simon's house where they were meeting, they didn't have any servants to do that, did they? They didn't have any servants at all. Christ did it. God Almighty in human flesh went to go wash their feet. He lifted us out of that miry pit. If somebody's down in a miry pit, you got to get under them to get a hold of them, don't you? Came, humbled himself. What if we could enter into that? That was the custom there. And that's to show you and I that he rose. Says he rose from supper and laid aside his garment. He rose from that table with his Father and the Holy Ghost in glory, laid aside his garments, and he put on the flesh of a man. He girded himself in the apparel and the flesh of a human being. And he had a basin there that he filled. Just like that trench that Elijah and those prophets of Baal, he built that altar and they dug a big trench around it, didn't they? And they had to sacrifice on top, and they kept putting barrels and barrels and 12 barrels of water on there. A barrel for each tribe. That washing. That didn't run all over, did it? That wasn't a big fire truck out there just spraying stuff down for whoever could get underneath it. Oh, that was on purpose. That's who that was for. It was individual. That's what the Lord's showing us here. There was a specific task. It was applied individually, this washing was. And that towel he girded himself with, it was tied to him. He took a great big old towel and wrapped it around him. And I sat on that for a long time in the study, and I thought, now if that was me, if I was one of those 15, 20 people here, and I got to wash your feet, I'd probably get me a stack of towels, you know. Was there in a motel? And I said, man, that'd be a good stack of towels. You take one, use it, and, well, you want a clean one when I get to you, you know, use that one and get rid of it and find me another one. Why'd he have that one towel? It was bound to him. It was his garment attached to him. He bore it. That dust went from the feet of the disciples to him. That dust is our sin. We're the dust. We're mud, wet dust, miry clay, Adam, red dirt. That's man. That's all we are, sin, the noun. That's what we are. And he did this for his own, for his children. He bore in his body on the tree me, my mud, all that I am, this wet dirt, my sin, who I am. He bore Kevin Thacker on that tree. It didn't represent my mud, what he wiped off of their feet. It was mud. It was my mud. And when the Father looked at Christ, he saw me. He saw you that he's died for, his own. That's who he saw. And when he looks at us, he sees cleanliness, as clean as Christ. Because that's who we have to be. We have to be made his righteousness, don't we? You see, this isn't just an example of Christian humility, is it? This isn't just a quick story you read to the kids before they go to bed so they'll be nice to the brothers and sisters the next morning. This is how men and women are just before the holy God we offended. That's something to listen to, isn't it? Something to hear about. Peter didn't see that at the time. I didn't see that the first time I read this either, did I? He said in verse 6 and 7, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" He just washed the other disciples' feet. He's coming to you, Peter. You're next. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Boy, isn't that the truth? Right then, Peter didn't understand what was happening. But the Lord's going to teach him. Throughout Peter's time on this earth, Peter ain't going to fully enter into what the Lord just did. We'll see it at the end. But he's going to learn something about it. But whenever this body of death is gone, and we enter glory, and we're perfect, holy, without blame, before him in love, with a holy nature that's not, that's all that's left. Now we're going to understand. Now we're going to see something. Peter yanked his feet back, didn't he? Questioned the Lord. Oh, hold on now. I don't condone Peter questioning the Lord, but I understand it. He didn't know what this represented yet, but he knew who was doing it. Peter was his. He knew who that was. That was the Almighty God right in front of him about to wash his feet. And he said, "No, Lord, I ought to wash your feet. You don't need to wash my feet. I need to wash your feet." It'd be nice if we could be like Eli, wouldn't it? It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him. If we could just wait on the Lord. I don't know what I don't know. That's a lot. None of us do we? Boy, if we could realize we didn't know much. So much of this religious world and the unreligious world, they think they know so many things. And it's question and answer time all the time. Let's have a Q&A. And everybody's got an answer for everything. And somebody, not, wouldn't a believer asked me, a stranger asked me one time, said, "Did you ever do questions and answers and stuff?" And I said, "No." I said, "Why not?" I said, "Because 99% of my answers be the same. I'll get back with you." You got a question, give me a week or two. Let me study it real good before I give you an answer. If I'm going to speak on behalf of the Lord, buddy, I'm going to see what he says, not what I think, not from the hip. I want to know what the Lord says. And I'll get back with you. Like that blind man there in John 9, Lord healed him, and his neighbors asked, "How did you get your sight?" And he told them. And then he went, they said, "That's not good enough. Let's take him to the Pharisees." And they said, "How?" Five times they asked him, how? How'd you get your sight? Not once did they ask who. Who gave you sight? What's it like to see? You ain't never seen before. Let me show you a hummingbird. Them things are neat. Come here, look what the Lord made. Not once. How? So many questions. Right now, we that know the Lord, we know him. But there's so much more that we don't know yet. Hadn't been revealed to us. We see in part. We prophesy in part, don't we? And that growth in grace and knowledge and understanding, it's a slow growth. He grows us down, but how thankful we are it's slow. You get growing pains when you're growing up. My wrist would hurt. My shins would hurt. Boy, wouldn't you glad that didn't happen overnight? I'm glad I didn't go sleep at 5 foot tall and wake up 6'5". Boy, I'd be screaming, wouldn't I? How thankful we are. We're so eager. I knew when I was, Lord first did a work in me, I wanted to try to soak up everything I could. I wanted to grow. I wanted to learn. Oh, he's patient and he's wise to teach his children. Well, just like me, Peter was headstrong, wasn't he? He says in verse 8, "Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet." You ain't never going to do it. Never. He said that before, didn't he? Peter's so adamant and strong, resolute. He picked something, he went with it, didn't he? He said, "Lord, these others, they may forsake you. I'll never forsake you." Men claim this in many aspects of religion, that for the glory of Christ is what they package it with. I got to do something. You can't wash my feet. Maybe you can wash eight toes, but I'm going to do the other two. Now, that's just not right. I got to do something. That's under the ruse of humility. We got to carry the bill with the load, don't we? What a shame. No, you must be made one with Christ. He must clean you every whit, head to toe. That's what must happen. He must do the work 100%. He must save you from your sins. Not most of them, all of them. And outside of speaking of our Lord and his promises, I put we and I scratched out and put I, me, I'm speaking to me. I should not be so concrete and absolute in all my words. People say, where are you going next? They ask me, I was down in Pikeville. Where are you going? Well, the Lord willing, I'll go to Ashland, and I'm going to be in Lexington, and we'll go back to San Diego. And, of course, I get lazy. I'm going to Lexington next. Well, I may come here, I may not. I have a message for you. I may have one, I may not. But whatever the Lord promises, that you can stand on. If we can be shut up to Him in sin and bow to Him, now we got something we can stand on. We got something solid. And what does He say? He said never too. Do you know that? Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. I'll never leave you. I won't go back on. I won't forsake you, Lord. The Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I may lose my mind. I heard a man say one time, he said, boy, there's a whole lot of things I may forget. I may forget my wife's name, but I'll never forget the day the Lord saved me. You just might. But if the Lord remembers you, like a thief on the cross, Lord, remember me. That's something, isn't it? He delights in mercy, don't he? Here in verse 8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Notice he didn't say, if I don't wash your feet. That's what he was there doing, wasn't it? He said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. He's got to wash all of you. Who does the washing? Christ does. Man ain't got no part in it. What was washed? The totality of me. Head to toe. Complete. There's a new creation in there. Complete. What are we washed in? The blood of Christ. It says in verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord. The Lord spoke effectually and power to his heart when he said that, didn't he? Verse 9, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He wasn't just saying, wash me all over. He said, you wash my feet that walk in this world, Lord. The sin that I'm with every day. Wash my hands. Everything I touch is sin and death. Anything I put my hand to, I can reach up and touch the ark. That's what we try to do. And in my head, oh, every thought that goes through my mind. Be standing here right now preaching to you. Lord, wash that. Everything that's went through me. I've heard a lot of faithful preachers say that over the years. And I thought, well, I can't understand until I stood and preached. And I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. Lord, wash me. Wash every bit of me. Many want to wash their own feet, don't they? They want to bind themselves. Hearing the gospel preached. Hearing that person and work of Christ the Lord. Christ and Him crucified. Who He is. What He accomplished in and for His people. People hear that. The response to that isn't, well, I need to get a little better before I can hear more. I need to do something. I need to stop doing something. Well, before I can come to church, I need to quit doing that, don't we? We won't try to, like that man in the tombs. He didn't wait to get rid of them demons before he came to Christ and worshiped Him. He came as he was to Him and begged Him, didn't he? When the Spirit moves on a sinner's heart through the preaching of the Word, the preaching of Christ, they're like Peter. They beg to be washed throughly and thoroughly. Lord, cleanse me. You're my only hope. You washing me is the only hope I have of life. You are life, and I need you. That's what they need. And they willfully submit, and they willfully beg for mercy. Like John wrote to us in Revelations 1, He loved me, and He washed me. And that's what we ask. Lord, love me and wash me. I don't know what love is. I don't know what clean is. The Lord called us, said, that man with an unclean spirit. That's the best word ever for it, isn't it? What's unclean? Not clean. How dirty is it? Not clean. That's right, isn't it? That's what it ain't so much to do what we are, it's what we ain't. We ain't holy. We're not clean. He has to clean us. All right, verse 10. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed, he washes you. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. That can be kind of hard to read. Those who the Lord's washed, they don't need another washing. They're clean every whit, but their feet still have to be washed. That's what he's saying. And the Lord sent me halfway around this world to understand this illustration, understand what he's talking about. And I hope you can enter into it. I was in a desert area, just like this, on the other side of the world, and for me to take a shower, for me to get clean, I had to go 200 or 300 yards in flip-flops, and I'd go to a little trailer there, and I'd shower, and I'd get real good and clean, and I'd walk 200 or 300 yards back to my room. Well, what happened to my feet? My hair's clean. I smell good. My hands clean. My knees, everything's clean, but my feet ain't. But my calf muscle down is just dirty. And so I'd sit on the edge of my bed, and I'd clean my feet real good and wipe them up real good. Put my socks on. Now it's clean. Every time I showered, I had to go back and wash my feet again. You that are bought by the blood of Christ, you are every whit clean. He's cleaned you from head to toe. But our feet is still in the dust of this earth. We still walk in this body of death, don't we? Our salvation, it is eternal, and it's in Christ, and it's right now for the holy God. But we still walk in this world. I still live in this body of death. And I know we're led by the Spirit. We walk by faith, but this old man ain't died yet. Our Lord taught us to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. That's, Father, keep me from the dust of this world. Keep me from the sin of this world that I'm going to be exposed to all day, that I am. Keep me from me. Lord, keep me from me. And they also taught us to pray, Lord, forgive us our sins. Because that's what's going to happen. We're going to get dirty. That old Puritan wrote, he said, I wake up praying to the Lord every morning to keep me from sinning. And I go to sleep every night saying, Lord, forgive me of all the sinning I did today. We need mercies that are new every day. Our pure minds need to be stirred up and reminded of that person that is our salvation every day. Because we're so prone to wander, prone to leave that God we love. We need to be reminded of that person that is our heaven that we're going to after this life is over. No one in their right mind, or well, not in their right mind, the Lord gives, but no one that we would consider a sane person wants to go to hell. They want to go to heaven. They want to go to a better place, don't they? Not until they find out what that capital H heaven is. It ain't a place, it's a person. That's who we're going to. There, look up verse 3. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. That's where he was going. I was made here. I came as a being on this earth. I was conceived here. But I know Christ came from God because he is God. He's the eternal God. And that his work on my behalf and his work on the behalf of all his saints, his sheep throughout time, it's finished. It's completed. And when my appointed time comes, that appointed hour comes, I leave this earth, I'm going to him. He went to the Father. I'm going to him. That's where I'm going. Because of what he did and what he promised. Because he washed his own. He loved his own. He cleansed them. But not everybody. Not everyone. Just his own. So we know he's speaking of Judas here in verse 11. It said, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. Oh, this last couple years I've learned so much from Judas. I've learned a lot from him. Take the Lord's table. That first supper that he gave. Who was there? Judas was. We like to, in our nature, I worry about who's sheep and who's the goats, and we get carried away on all kinds of things. Who's the Lord's person? Who ain't? Who's saved? Who isn't? Am I? And the Lord gave it to every one of them, didn't he? And he knew. He knew for real. And then he washed the feet. He washed the feet of every one of them, didn't he? What was he showing us? He even washed Judas's feet, but this physical washing isn't miraculous. Like Naaman dipping in the Jordan 7 times. That water didn't do nothing for him. Him going down is what did something. The Lord did something in him to make him obey. That's what it was. The Lord's person and his work on Calvary is where that life comes from. For that hour. And just as it is for me and you. And that day then, what happened here and what happens in this day now. After the Lord does a work in us, he's on his throne right now in glory and we're informed about it. He teaches his people. Look here in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, he'd laid that sin on him. He made us clean. He had taken his garments. Where'd that towel go? All our sin, all me on it. Where's the towel? As far as the east is from the west. It's gone. He put that away and he put on his rightful garments. And he was set down again in his rightful robe, seated. And he said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? He physically did this to his disciples. And he said, you know what just happened? You know what I just showed you? hour's coming where you're going to see this play out, but I've washed you, he told him. I have forgiven you. I have cleansed you because I loved you. I love my own, and I've done it for eternity, forever. And it can't be undone. Multiple times a day, we are to forgive the trespasses of our brethren, aren't we? Because Christ did. We're to forgive the sin that they walked through that day. That dirt that's on their feet. Don't look at it. Don't worry about it. The Lord washed their feet. Peter said, you got to forgive your brethren. Peter's so used to those rules. I like rules. I like order. He said, how many times? 70 times, said Peter. Infinitely. As much as the Lord's forgiven you. That's how we're to forgive. Look at verse 13. You call me Master and Lord, you say, well, for I am. Verse 13. You call me, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. We need to forget about the sins of those that Christ died for because he has. And what a blessing it is to do so. People say, boy, that's hard. I might have to ask the Lord. It is hard. But it's a blessing to do so. You know, to go cry with a brother or sister that's weeping and just cry with them. Help them cry. to go mourn with someone. To go comfort someone during a trial. To be merciful to someone. That can only be done in this life. Do you know that? When this life is over, there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more trials. There'll be no more pain. Lord, let us comfort our brothers and sisters while we're here. What a blessing. What a privilege it is. To forgive someone, to mourn with them, to cry with them. That's a great privilege, isn't it? We walk in backwards and cover our Father's sin, don't we? This was our example. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Those who are His own, who have been washed, they will have a heart of mercy and forgiveness. Christ will abide in them. And to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is forgiven. That's what we're given. What are we given? Forgiveness. We're given forgiveness. And it's going to be required. It's going to come out. Our cup runs over. And the Lord reveals this when he says, do you know what I've done for you? And it reveals himself in us. What he's accomplished. We can't contain it. All those mercies that are new every day, it runs over, don't it? Verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. We're happy every time we give, every time we forgive, every time we're merciful, every time we're long-suffering, because now, if the Lord's taught you something, now we know these things. We know what he's done. We know at the great price that came at. And we delight. We happy. Happy to do it. Christ has washed us every whit. And we're happy to follow this example. To be made like him. And I hope we're happy today. We'll be with y'all. Thank you.